Welcome to Local Bitcoiners, a podcast about Bitcoin meetups. In this episode, Reed and Rev talk with Steve, Scott, and Tally from the Louisville Bitcoin Network.
Hey, Local Bitcoiners, Rev Hodel back again. As always, I'm joined by Reed. And tonight we have three guests on with us from the Louisville, Kentucky meetup. We've got Scott, Tally, and Steve. And so before we meet Scott, Tally, and Steve and learn about what's going on down there in Louisville, Kentucky at the meetup, I, of course, have a meetup adventure to share. And so last week I went to Chicago twice. I did a doubleheader. I went to Elmhurst, the western suburbs of Chicago meetup on Wednesday, and as usual, brought my goods and sold a bunch of stuff. That was cool. But what was really cool was there's somebody who I've been kind of, we've been building up a friendship through coming to this meetup. I just started going to this meetup this year. And so I've only been there a handful of months. And so not every time each person is there, so on and so forth. But so I've been building up a friendship with another guy there. And this meetup, he had brought some product for him to sell to participate in this circular economy. And so he was making these smoked salts, which that pairs perfectly with the lamb I'm selling and so on and so forth. And so he ended up also giving me a bunch of these smoked salts to kind of present at these other meetups, see if there's any interest, and then sort of point people back in his direction. So it's pretty cool to see that, through the activity that I'm doing at these meetups with the economic stuff, with selling things for Bitcoin, it is inspiring people to come and come up with something else that they can do to participate in that way as well. And so that was Wednesday. Then Thursday, I turned right around and went back to Chicago, and I went to the Chicago Bitcoin Collective for their BitDevs. And the Chicago Bitcoin Collective is new, so they're just starting to get their kitchen turned on for the restaurant. They don't have their liquor license yet. And so it was kind of like, you can bring beer, but please keep it in. Do not go into the restaurant with your beer. You know, we could get in trouble. And so I got a burger and fries. And so the fries that were made 100% tallow, beef tallow, delicious. A really good burger, and did the BitDevs there. And that was the same kind of thing. I brought a whole cooler full of stuff, sold a whole cooler full of stuff. And so the cool thing about the Chicago Bitcoin Collective is it is now a Bitcoin hub for Chicago, and they accept memberships. They are selling memberships. And I was able to, you know, don't trust verify, right? I was going to inevitably become a member of this because it's in my neighborhood, and I believe in it. But I didn't want to sign up for the membership until I tasted the food and actually went to the BitDevs, right? So as soon as that was complete, now I had verified, yes, you guys are doing a kick-ass job and this is an awesome place. And I signed up for a full year membership there. $21 a month for the lowest tier, right? And I'm out of state. I'm not really in Chicago. So I think that made sense for me. It's not like I'm going in there to do the co-working space or whatever. But so for me, you know, going to these meetups and seeing that there is, the attendance is still up and the vibes are still high. And people are, you know, bear markets are for building that meme or whatever. It's so true. People are out there still going and having a great time kicking ass. So that's my meetup adventure. What do you have for us, Reed?
Yeah, man, dude, the Bitcoiner businesses, dude, it's such a, it's just a high signal business, right? It's like if a Bitcoiner is running a business, you know, you can expect high quality. So glad to hear that they're delivering on that. All right. So my next meetup, I didn't really talk about it last time. So I'll talk for a minute about what my plans are, at least for our next meetup, which is coming up on Sunday, July 19th at 6 p.m. This is again at the Heavy Culture Cooperative in East Hampton. So last time we tried the roundtable format, got really good feedback on it. Everybody kind of loved it, actually. So, you know, we normally do the Socratic seminar, so we're going to table that again, and we're going to go forward with this. We're going to try the roundtable idea again, but this time a few things different. So one thing, I'm going to send out a few like suggested topics that we can talk about, and I haven't gone through them. I was considering maybe sending out a podcast or an article or something that maybe we could all read together and then talk about. Haven't decided on any of that yet. But one thing I do want to talk about as part of the roundtable is kind of like what types of things that we want to grow into as a meetup, right? Like we did pretty good rolling out some tools to get circular economy stuff going. Those are starting to be used. I'd say it's still kind of in its infancy. So like, what can we do to make that better? Like what other ideas do people have? And then what other things do we want to start doing? Like one thing I want to talk about is what I'm going to call community features, which is a lot of the cool stuff we've been playing with on this podcast, like on our website and stuff. Like there's pretty cool community features. Like that's what we're doing. We're building community. We have a place now on the internet, which is our website, where we can all kind of hang out, and now we can find each other and see each other. So with those features coming out with the podcast, it's like natural extension is how much of this can we do with the meetup? And so I was going to talk about some of that stuff with the meetup. And then also just to decide what we're going to do with the Socratic seminars going forward. Cause I know people like those too. And so maybe we'll do every other month or something like that. But those are the kinds of things I want to talk about. But I'm sure lots of other cool stuff always comes up during those roundtables. So I don't know. I'm really looking forward to it. All right. Well, I'm happy to introduce a little bit some of our guests here. Rev was saying, we've got three guests with us here, all from the Louisville Bitcoin Network. And so why don't we start with you, Steve? Steve, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about the meetup, and then you can kind of hand it off to Scott and Tally.
Sure. So this is our maybe second iteration of the Louisville Bitcoin Network, or the Louisville Meetup, as we might call it. We try to get together once a month, the last Sunday of every month. We typically put on a Socratic seminar, a bit devs-like meeting, where I just select a bunch of stuff that I found interesting in the previous month. This month we talked some about Arc and Bark and all the arcades and different names of that protocol. Sparrow Wallet, some of the core changes and things like that. Some technical, some not very technical. Also, we try and highlight some projects, that we think you should at least try out or use, or, maybe give a demonstration on. I think one time we gave one on eCash and, passed around some Satoshis and things like that. So we mostly do the Socratic seminar, but occasionally we do just like a more of a social meetup at a different location to maybe get some people that are less technical or fear that it's going to be more of a technical discussion to, maybe open the door to them a little bit more. Also, we've had a game night before with Scott and Tolly's game or games, I guess I should say. There's multiples now. We try and do some different things, but, we also are a pretty small group of people, and we don't do very well with, the communication of when the events are, or, even creating a list or a singles point of communication. It's still a little bit disjointed in that regard, but, we are getting better as the time rolls on. But we've done probably 20 with this new format, that I was kind of talking about, kind of after we kind of took a step back and found a more solid location, which I think we actually might change because the library has become harder and harder to deal with, unfortunately. I'll go to them months out in advance and say, can we have the room? It's just a little tiny room for like 10 or 15 people. And they're like, it's booked up. Anyway, they're not very easy to deal with, but I think we're going to be in the mood to start switching to a different location soon. Maybe a little more social location as well. The library is a little sterile and quiet, so we might liven it up a bit as well.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for telling us about the meetup. And I know I've got some questions. We actually haven't talked too much about BitDevs before, so I've got some questions as a Bitcoin or as a BitDevs organizer. But before we get into any of that, welcome also to Scott and Tally. So I'll let you guys decide who wants to introduce themselves first, but why don't you guys both introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about what your role is in the meetup and stuff like that.
I guess I'll go first. Scott Lindberg, that's known in the Bitcoin space for Hoddle Up, the tabletop game. And together, Tally and I were, for about a year, we did the Bitcoin Homeschoolers podcast. So we were also known for speaking on the self-custody of education. As far as my role, I'm kind of the agitator of the group, I guess. I just throw ideas out there, and then Steve actually organizes things and gets things done. So I could, I keep threatening that I'm going to set up a monthly happy hour to complement some of the technical, we haven't been consistent with that. So that's still out there. But I just look at myself more as I'm more of a participant, and I want this because we always felt like we were on an island. And so if we have a problem like with location or something else, then I feel like it's time for me to try to do something. But I'm kind of all over the map. Firefighter, I guess.
I'm Tali. I am Scott's wife. My role in the BitDevs is not that much. We are a almost 100% men group. I am the only consistent female attendee. And that's been really challenging. I have my own women's group called Orange Hatter. And we have our summer sessions going on right now where we have women signing in from different parts of the world, mostly the US, Canada, Mexico. But tonight was our meeting and we had someone sign in from El Salvador, which is wonderful. And we went from going from like a 10-week book study kind of setup to a member-led topic focused discussion. So anybody can jump in anytime with an article or something instead of having to commit to a whole series, like a 10-week series on a book. That's worked really well. And I enjoy that very much. Unfortunately, in physical in-person attendance, I've been the only woman for the last, year and a half. It's been really challenging, you know? So that's me.
Yeah, great, guys. Yeah, thank you again for being willing to come on our podcast and talk about all your experiences. And Tali, I think so as part of Orange Hatter, you had a pod. I don't know if you still do it, but you had a podcast at one point. And go ahead.
I had a podcast. I hit 100 episodes, and then I wanted to pivot the direction of the podcast, but I ended up just really focusing on women coming together when we can, even over Zoom, so that we can ask each other questions in real time and be able to interact. So that has been primarily my focus over the last 2-3 years now, because I think I launched Orange Hatter like almost 4 years ago. There's like a little bug here. Sorry.
Yeah, it's funny. So what made me immediately think of that is our longest recurring, you know, our only regular female attendee at my meetup is my mom. And my mom, you got in after Grassroots a couple of years ago, we were talking, and she actually went onto your podcast. So yeah. for people who are interested in hearing about what my mom does at our meetups and what was her path to becoming a Bitcoiner, you can dig up the old Orange Hatter podcast episode with my mom on it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know what episode number it is off the top of my head. Maybe I can find it and stick it in the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's difficult. It's very difficult because I am involved with a lot of local women network organizations. And everywhere I go, people know that I talk about Bitcoin and they show slight interest. But when it comes to time commitment, they're just not there. They just don't have interest in learning more. It's more like, okay, I realize that that's important, but it is on the bottom of my priority list. And you just know that they're never going to get to it because they've got the other stuff going on. They're trying to handle their job and they're picking up their kids from school and they're driving them to soccer and ballet and all of that stuff, right? So it's been real challenging trying to get interest locally from women.
Sure. And I do think that one thing that is kind of different between at least the men and the women is that I think a lot of times we like to talk about the Bitcoin, like the technical part of Bitcoin, or at least the group that we have in the Legal Bitcoin Network currently. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of times we don't you know, get that social connection as well by doing that. But I think we could be better at, you know, doing more events that are just purely social. And, you know, the reason for of Bitcoin is just that, you know, like it's no, we don't need to talk about it necessarily. But I know that we turn some people off by being that a little bit overly technical, or at least appearing overly technical, you know, for our meetup.
It is a really fine balance to walk, though. I was just talking about that very issue with my Orange Hatter group before I hopped on this podcast, which is that it's not that I mind talking about the technical stuff. It's that I get very sleepy when we just talk about that. And then I get up and go to the bathroom like three times in a meeting because I'm trying to wake myself up. It'd be very embarrassing if I fell asleep. But, you know, if I'm talking... if we're having a conversation about personal things or personal experience or something, I find myself more emotionally involved. But I understand that for the group that we do have, you guys are perfectly happy talking about technical stuff and you're very fulfilled. So
right.
It is a fine line to walk.
Go ahead,
Scott. Well, I'll just say, sorry to interrupt you there. I actually think there might be more men that are okay with the technical, but I think we lose men too, and we just don't know it because we don't see them. I think maybe more men are technical than maybe more women comparatively. But I think we actually are losing people. Maybe they're older or otherwise. We do have some older gentlemen that come. But I think the technical, I mean, most people don't go to like an internet meeting to learn how the internet works, but they know how to send an email. So I don't know if everybody needs to know all the technical. I think at this stage of the adoption curve that we're in. So I actually think we're losing more people than we realize. And it so happens that the people who are left there happen to be more on the male side. But I think we're missing an opportunity. Now, at least in Louisville, I feel strongly that I need to do more to try to make social and bring, make it more open to non-technical people.
And one thing we kind of talked about on our last meetup, just indirectly, was the younger generations. We don't seem to attract people under the age of 35, really. You know, it's, you know, people, I don't know if that's the same trouble throughout the meetup ecosystem or not, but we definitely don't have any younger generation users that come to our meetup.
Well, see, we have the one guy who's having a baby, though, so you got to give him a pass. Right. I mean, he's all start, you know, his family. I can see why maybe he's not getting a pass to leave the house to join us. So,
yeah, you know, it's like these meetups, typically the way the time of day that they're at and the places that they're at are, you know, pretty good spots for dudes to go meet and not for women and kids. Like maybe people as couples, but like as a single woman coming into this situation, you're going into a lot of our recordings, people talk about the location of their meetup being like, it's hard to even find the door. And you feel like you're going into some back alley place. And so I could see how that could be intimidating to show up without knowing anyone as a woman to something like that. And so in permaculture, I'm really into permaculture, and there's 12 principles of permaculture. And one of them is self-regulate, accept, and apply feedback. And to me, like, this is kind of good. Like we're recognizing right now in this conversation that the formats of meetups maybe can change. Maybe it doesn't need to be so technical anymore. Like that, there's a place for that, but that's not all it's about. Because meetups are much more than just learning about Bitcoin at this point. It's about finding Bitcoiners to meet and cooperate with locally. And so you guys, you mentioned like maybe starting to do the happy hour. You have done some social meets and you've done the game nights. So on those, outside of the BitDevs format, does a different sort of demographic of people come to those more oddball meetups that you guys are doing?
Unfortunately, no. It's mostly the same group again. But you know, we show up and just, you know, don't talk about Bitcoin as much, or you know, try not to talk about Bitcoin as much. But we end up just falling into that same trap and talking about the same things we usually talk about. You know, maybe each time there's one new person, but, you know, the chance of them coming back is, you know, 50-50. You know, it depends on how well invested they are prior to coming, you know, how much they have experienced Bitcoin prior to you know, coming to a meetup.
So like the game night, for example, would be like like kids aren't coming to this to play the games. It's more just like people having beers and playing the game in a bar or something.
It's more the idea. I mean, I think we're open to either crowd, but you know, the ones that are attracted are, you know, typically again, that older, you know, 35 plus demographic that, you know, is already, you know, exposed to Bitcoin in some way.
Our best game nights that Tali and I have experienced have actually been away from Louisville. When we've been guests at other locations and someone will put out a, maybe it says bring your family type of thing. When we went to Shenandoah Valley, we actually did it in a church and there was a ton of kids running around. And it was really nice. We just had pizza and it was very informal, middle of the day. The ones that we've had here, by and large, we have a smaller group, so it was attracting a lot of the same people. And it doesn't lend itself to repeat. This isn't like your Wednesday poker night and it's the same guys with their cigars type of thing. And so I don't think we've done a game night in 2 years now. I feel like it's been a little while. I'm open to it, but I don't think it's one of those things you can force. And so we've had some really great experiences with it. But in large part, it's because we were on the road and we would reach out to the meetup organizer in that area and we would organize something special and they would advertise it and that would attract a certain crowd. So I'm not against it. But on the other hand, I don't think if someone's starting a new meetup somewhere, if it fits, then great, use it. If it doesn't fit, I wouldn't force anybody to try it. Obviously, I'm biased. I like it, but I wouldn't force anybody to do it.
Well, yeah, if you got a game that you made and you could present, you could create an opportunity for the local people to play it, I would do it, right? That's great. The other thing, like, so one technique that we've used locally here to get people to bring their spouses to the meetup is actually to invite them and create, like, on the Christmas meetup here in Southwest Michigan, we make that meetup, like the December meetup, to be the Christmas one. And so it's like, bring your wife and kids, and we're going to have snacks, and it's going to be less of a Bitcoin meetup total thing, but more about just like, hey, the families can get together at this time. And sometimes we do these one-offs, you know, where people throw a barbecue or something like that. And I know, like, the guys in Indianapolis, they meet in a park. Not, like you said, it's not like you can just say every month we will meet in the park and all the kids will play at the playground. But every once in a while, someone says, hey, I want to do a park meetup, and they do it, you know? And so those are some things that it's a Bitcoin meetup, but it's more just about, once again, finding opportunities to interact with your local Bitcoiners.
Well, it makes me think too, like, I guess throughout some of this discussion, I was thinking a little bit about like advertising. And really what I mean is more just like, how do we get the word out about like what's going on at the meetup, right? Like if you're doing a different type of thing, right? Like if this is going to be the family night. Well, that's great because you can tell everyone who's at the meetup, you can go tell them to tell their families to come because you don't have like a direct line of communication to everyone's wives, like who's coming to the meetups. And so like, if you wanted to do a different style, like we've been talking about, like Tali, you had some great ideas, right? Of these more, you know, socially friendly, not so Bitcoin technical type meetup. Well, how do you tell? You have the one meetup.com page. And it's like, well, how do you get access to like a different community who might still want to come? It's just a challenging thing. And I think, you know, Rev was talking about it maybe a little bit before we hit record, but how do you find, and then the flip side of that, you know, maybe that's where you want to find more, you know, women or less technical people to attend your meetup. That's one challenge. But then there's like the silent Bitcoiners, right? They're really technical people who don't want to go out and go get out of their home and go to these places. Well, how do you let those people know that your meetup exists? Let them know that it's actually a safe place for them to come. And like, you know, there's no one going to be what, you know, these like grand conspiracy theories or whatever that people might be after them. But, you know, how do we get them out too? And it's just it's just a challenge, I guess, that I probably all Bitcoin meetup organizers have. I didn't leave it off with the question either. Go ahead,
yeah,
Scott.
Yeah, but we have a second challenge in that 10, 12 years ago, there was some OG Bitcoiner in the space that actually has Louisville Bitcoin Meetup, like that's still active on the Meetup app. And when we first started to learn about Bitcoin and wanted to get connected, we went there, and the Meetup page will show someone doing a presentation, and you think, oh, maybe I'm going to go learn that. Well, whoever started it is long gone. And now you basically go, no one has any presentation, no one has any agenda. And there was a bunch of crypto guys there. And there were some nice people, but they each had their own little coin that they were into. And we're like, well, okay, but we don't care, right? So we started this one because we had been to Bitcoin Park, I don't know, for the first year we got to Bitcoin. Once we found it, we were down there almost every month. So we knew what it could be like. But we actually have a double problem when it comes to advertising, because you already have the standard problem of how you're going to reach out. But we also have like this distraction, like fake Bitcoin thing going on that we're battling. That's not helping us. Right. I mean, I'm tempted to go and just, you know, tell everybody to go to the other place, but I just don't even want to go. Like, I don't want to take my time to go all the way down to where I remember some pizza joint. I don't feel like even going to do that, because you have to go all the time, because you never know when those new people who are entering, if they find that first. So basically, I don't have an answer for you, Reed, even though you don't have a question, but I'm just letting you know we've got a double challenge for Louisville, the standard that you already have, and this kind of shadow ghost of the past that kind of lingers in Louisville.
I also, if I can add, feel like the big question is, when we have a Bitcoin meetup, what is our purpose and mission? Are we looking for other Bitcoiners to build personal relationships, or are we trying to spread Bitcoin around? And if we're talking about this being a freedom money kind of thing, then in my opinion, it is more important for us to build relationship, even if we just have a handful of people, so that we know each other on a personal level and not just always talking about Bitcoin, so that we have that support system, because it is very lonely when you stand by Bitcoin and you're going to be challenged in all different areas of your life. So if we're talking about building relationships, then what are we doing at the meetups if all we're doing is talking about Bitcoin? That's not building relationship. That's like going to a lecture and thinking just because somebody sat next to you, you're going to be friends with that person. That's the way I see it. So the way I run Orange Hatter is very, very different in that we don't talk about Bitcoin for the first half of our meeting. It's like, how is your week? What's going on with you? What's going on with your kids? What's going on with your health? Who are you? And how can I show you that I care about you, and vice versa? And once we build up that relationship, then we go, okay, now let's talk about Bitcoin. What's going on in the space right now that you care about? We can talk about different topics, but the focus is always the relationship, because in the end, Bitcoin is also just a tool. It's nothing more than a tool that records value that you have exchanged. I think we lost somebody.
I think Rev didn't like what you said.
I think he signed me off.
Rev is upset. I think
he'll be back, I'm sure. He never has internet problems. So I'm not sure what happened there.
Yeah, we'll give him a hard time. We'll tell Tali that, you know, he doesn't like women or something.
Well, I guess what I'd like to do. I think one of the main topics that we really wanted to talk about. So I guess just to give you guys like a little bit of background. So we, with this podcast, Rev and I have been doing a lot of what I called during the pre-show, like, or during the, when I was talking about my meetup, a lot of community features. And so we've been adding all kinds of different things to our website and different things to the podcast format to try to get the people who listen to the podcast more engaged with, like, you know, how do we get them to send in questions? How do we get them to send their meetups in? We want to be reading off their stuff and promoting the things that they have going on. And so one of the things that we've started to lean into a little bit here is what we're calling kind of gamification. And so we came out with these leaderboards, and we're trying to say, hey, this isn't just about like who's sending us the most sats. It's like, hey, who can be the most consistent? Like, who's like our, who are our ride or dies? Who's our core group? Who's like listening to all our episodes and interacting with us on Noster and things like that? And so with this kind of gamification of some of our features and functions and tools, we thought this would be a great opportunity to talk to some gaming kind of experts in the Bitcoin community. And I was looking at your website. I didn't realize you guys had so many different games now. I knew about HODL Up, but there's a lot of other games here as well. And it just kind of made me start thinking, like, you know, building these games, it's a difficult thing to land, right? In just that sweet spot, right? It's got to be hard enough that it keeps your attention, but like, it can't be like you don't necessarily want it to be like an 8-hour game. Like, it's got to be like a reasonably constrained thing. So I don't know. I guess I was just, maybe you guys could talk to us, I guess, for Scott and Tally, you know, if you guys could talk to us for a couple minutes about the games you have, but then I'd love to hear more just about like your process about like how do you create a game? Like, that's a challenging thing.
My guess is Tally's going to want me to take this one. Absolutely. So there's a few things there. So one of the games you see on there is Mission Bitcoin. So in our area, we're about an hour and a half away from Lexington. And the same for Cincinnati. It takes a little longer to get to Indy. And we're about 3 hours from Bitcoin Park. But when you look at the Cincinnati and Lexington group, it used to be not uncommon to have people come from other meetups that were close by. So Mission Bitcoin is actually created by a gentleman from Lexington. And then he had some issues with Jeff Bezos. And so now we put his game on our website. The other games, yeah, my goal is that I want a game that hits the mark where you could play it with families. I go to game conferences and there's people there who will play ridiculously long games. And that's not most people. Most people, it might be a family night, which would be awesome for more families to have that. It might just be a New Year's thing or some other type of gathering. So my goal is you can play it in less than an hour. And it's based on some theme, and that's what I did for HODL Up. The one that's on there now, this is a prototype box. This isn't not exactly what it's going to look like. But Fed Up, I know this is an audio version only, but Fed Up is in production now, and that's based on only fiat. And so it's like Clown World, you get to throw some balls. So if you can't play it in less than an hour, most people, I just think the average people who buy a game for entertainment, They're just not going to play it. And the only way to hit the mark like you're talking about is just game testing. So I start with an idea, and then I'll base it on a theme. So Clown World Fed Up is based on monetary policy versus fiscal policy. And like, how do I stack up rules and red tape, and how do I stack up money? And I want somebody to end the Fed, right? I just wanted it to be something like that. But then the game mechanics, like it's just iteration. You try it out, something just doesn't work. So you try it again. And it's just, you have to be patient enough, and you have to find people who are actually willing to do game testing. And that's probably the hardest part. If you have people in your area that are willing to test it out with you, yeah, you can fast iterate. But it's just game testing over and over and over and over again. And then having enough humility to realize that your original idea just didn't work and you have to change it. So the game never ends up as I originally designed it. It takes a lot of twists and turns. So basically you pick a theme, you start, test, change, iterate, and cycle, rinse, repeat until you get something that you feel like hits the mark. That's about it. A lot of patience, and don't do it if you're trying to make money. Because it is not a, it's, there's 5 to 10,000 new games come out every year. I mean, it's something that if you have a passion for, you can go for it. Obviously, I have a passion for games and the education side, so I want to mix those together. But, and I talk to a lot of other game people who aspire to have games. But if you don't have that feeling, then I wouldn't look at it as a business opportunity. It's just, if you happen to enjoy it, then give me a call or, you know, text me or something, and I'll try to help you out. But just know that you're doing it because you have a passion for the. I think the fellowship is a huge part of it, and the fun of the game. Some strategy in there that can also be fun. I'll say with Huddle Up, if you're around Bitcoiners, they'll get competitive. They might put real sats on the table, or talk Bitcoin smack to each other. But it's designed to be a family game where you could play safely with kids as well. So that's what I shoot for. That's it. Just patience. Just keep trying and trying and trying again.
The game testing aspect of it, I think, is pretty interesting when we start to think about applying this gamification to something like a meetup or Noster. Because like Huddle Up is a game that's ultimately, it's helpful in learning about Bitcoin, right? And helping to understand how Bitcoin works. And so there's an incentive there through playing the game to learn. And so a big part of what we're doing with this Noster gamification is we see a lot of power in Noster, but there's not a lot of, it's like a solution looking for a problem in a lot of ways. Like nobody's really come up with use cases to show off how cool all this Noster stuff is, right? So if we just make a game out of it, now it's just like, okay, here's a fun way to show off how there's like all this cool interoperability things we can do. And then it creates incentives for people to break the game. Like essentially you can win the game by breaking it at this point, and that's creating the incentives for playtesting. And so like when it comes to meetups, I know Steve, we talked a little bit pre-show about that the nonce game that often gets played at BitDevs. Do you want to talk about that for a second? Explain that.
Sure. It's just a game that I believe Steve Myers created. He's in Nashville. Basically just came up with a good way to pick a target block, somewhere that's going to be in your meetup. So the third next block from now. And then what you do is you put in I think it's 8-digit hex code that you think is going to be the closest to the actual nonce of that block that you target. So it's kind of a fun game. You can do it just kind of at the beginning and say, here's how the quick rules are. You're just basically guessing a random number, because that's all that miners are really doing anyway, is guessing a random number. So you're trying to guess what they're guessing. And, you give away some sort of swag at the end, that is Bitcoin related, so somebody can walk away with a prize. And everybody likes to win. So, why not play a little game to, allow that to happen?
Yeah, so have you guys done it before? Rev, have you guys used it? It's really slick what Steve created.
The only time I ever played it was at Bitcoin Park.
Yeah.
When we were there together for Grassroots at that BitDevs. But that's another example of like, okay, here's a game where you're getting by playing this game, you're now getting a better understanding of something related to Bitcoin. And it makes it fun, and then you could potentially even come away with something that you wouldn't have otherwise at the meetup. And so I don't know, I guess this is kind of leading into like coming from that perspective of game design and everything, like we've already kind of discussed like some of the incentive problems of getting these different demographics to show up to meetups. Like through this discussion, is anything like popping into your mind of like a game we can play to create incentives for people to come to meetups, different people to come to meetups, different ways of interacting at meetups?
Well, you go first, Steve.
I was just going to say, I think that you guys are heading the right direction with Noster and things like that, where, the social graph is already built in. So if you're on Noster, you already have the social graph and you can tap into that a lot more easily. And I think that, the real world gamification of, your people that show up consistently and things like that, those are going to be the ones that most likely work in the long run. Just trying to find, ideas or metrics that you can, find ways to make it interesting enough that people want to do that thing, and also win. I mean, because again, I think most people like to win, even if it is just, a high five or whatever the hell you win at the end. It's better than nothing, right? You get that recognition and things like that. But I think it sounds like you guys are headed in the right direction, and I'd like to head that way as well. Just because AI is making it so much easier to build these applications and, just throw shit against the wall. And if it sticks, great. If it doesn't, then just throw it away and try again. So I think that, I've learned a little bit already from, some of these things that you guys are doing to, build that community around Noster.
Yeah, it's really cool. One of the things, so, you know, you mentioned it's cool that if you already have your social graph on Noster, but actually the games are really cool if you don't have a social graph as well. And the reason why is because now all of a sudden, like if you, like I've been trying to tell other meetup organizers, for example, because I think a lot of meetups, like, okay, even if you are active, like me, I'm a great example. I'm active on Noster. My meetup has an NPub. I never use it because I'm always using my own, my personal one. And so like, if you have an NPub that's like very lightly used, or like you generated it some years ago and it doesn't really have any miles on it, and you know, you don't have any followers, what's the point? I'm shouting into the void, like all these things. Well, if you start interacting with our show, now all of a sudden you're all over our website. We're talking about you specifically all the time. If you boost our podcast, you get put into our follow packs. So like we have ways that other people, you want to find our community, you can go automatically follow all these people. You know, we're featuring all their top boosts. The boosts get read off, but then the top boosts stay on the website. And so like there's all these cool ways that now all of a sudden, if you've got an NPub that doesn't have very many miles on it, now you're going to get like a Noster focused podcast talking about your NPub all the time. And so it's actually kind of a good way to bootstrap, you know, a new NPub or an NPub that's been lightly used. So that's been really cool to see some of that stuff actually happening. And we're seeing some success stories. Like I've used that kind of pitch before to say, hey, you know, because I've heard before too, like people don't, it's hard starting over, right? It's hard coming to a brand new place where you don't have any followers and you don't have any community yet. Well, we're a community. Like if you listen to the show, now you have a community on Noster. And so that's kind of, those are some of the things that we've done with the podcast. And that's kind of what I was saying during my little segment in the beginning. I'd like to try to figure out ways to bring some of those, like whatever it is that we're doing, like some of those community features to my meetup to see if we can get people interacting that way. But yeah, I mean, in terms of gamification, you know, I think it's also interesting that Bitcoin itself, like you can't talk about Bitcoin without talking about game theory, right? Like there are some gamification pieces. It's just lining up incentives, right? So it's, you have to get the incentives just right. And that's like Scott, when I was asking you about trying to make these games and stuff like that, like, cause that's tough, right? Like you got to fine tune those incentives just right to get people to interact in a constructive way. That's going to help get you to your goal. So yeah, so I mean, I don't know if you guys have more thoughts about how we can bring more gamification type tools to Bitcoin meetups, but yeah, that's definitely stuff we're interested in over here.
Yeah, I love the guest anons because it's up on the screen when you walk in. You scan a QR code. Someone has to explain to you, if you've never been before, what a hexadecimal number is. Then you have to explain what a nonce is. And so it's a way of opening up conversations for new people. For people who come on a regular basis, they get a chance to win a hat or a hardware wallet or a game or whatever it is. So, and it doesn't take very long because you do it when you're up front, and then and whoever stuck around to the end and you read off the winners, it doesn't take very long. The bit devs that I was attending in Nashville, I found to be a little long. A couple of them would just be like, they'd be like hour and a half, 2 hours. And Holly's looking at me like, okay, I'm out. Like you go ahead and you can keep sitting here if you want. So you gotta be careful of your time and what are you doing it for? You know, I don't want people to come to a meetup because they're only there because of the prize. But if you get a prize because you came, I think that's still pretty cool. Like you feel good, right? You got your hat, you got your hardware wallet, whatever it was. So it depends on what's the reason for it. Is it to help, you know, with the conversation for new people? Is it to kind of like add a little bit of variety to it? I like it for those reasons. I don't know if it really will drive attendance. It might help with repeat, you know, people coming back. And so in that sense, it might help with attendance. But you just got to know why you're doing it. Not everybody likes games. I mean, I wish more people did, but I would say keep it short if you're doing it for the general masses.
And I think that does get into like a good point that we haven't really touched on yet is like, so, all right, if we want to like create incentives for people to come and participate at our meetup, whether that's to get to either create incentives for people to continue to come or create incentives for new people to come, regardless, at the heart of it all is like, why are people, what are we doing this for in the first place? And so like in the example of Louisville, what is the main driving force that is causing you guys to continue to run these meetups month after month? I think when I looked at the website, the earliest one that was there was in 2024, like in January. And so it's been a few years and you guys have been doing it. So what's been the biggest driving force behind that?
Sure. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say the BitDevs format started in 24, but we started the group earlier than that. But when we first started, it was just because we wanted to stand apart from the crypto Bitcoin people. So we started by having it more of a social gathering just to see if we can find each other where we are. And we didn't find each other here. We found Steve and our other co-founder in Nashville. It was that difficult for us to find each other. And so originally our intention was just so we were not alone where we are. And then it evolved from doing socials to doing BitDevs, but we have been doing this for a number of years.
Yeah. I'll let Steve go and then I'll go.
Yeah, I was saying for me, I think that, you know, I'm still trying to find the actual mission for myself, what it is that I want to do. I like to educate people. That's, you know, one of my passions. But right now, the meetup for me and the BitDevs for me is just to exercise my Bitcoin muscle so that when somebody talks to me, I'm up to date. I'm not weak and, you know, in all the areas. And I do it just selfishly almost for myself just to, you know, these are things I like to talk about. And these are things I want to learn about or I want to hear somebody else's opinion on. So I bring it up in a Socratic seminar way. And selfishly, that's what I do it for currently, you know, is for myself. You know, yes, there, you know, it hopefully does enrich other people's lives in some way, but right now it's really just so that I, you know, stay strong and I'm up to date on, you know, the goings on of the Bitcoin.
Yeah, ditto on that. I mean, both those pieces. We were on an island when we were first trying to get into we went to Miami and we didn't know anybody. So you're around a whole bunch of people who are quote unquote Bitcoiners and we felt like we were isolated. So having people in the area without having to drive 3 hours to Nashville, I would say is priority number one, but exercising your Bitcoin muscle. I like the way you worded that, Steve. That's exactly what I go there. I'm like, okay, I haven't been following things as much as I did when I the first few years getting in and I lose, and there's so many changes happening so fast that it's more, the technical is almost getting more, even harder to understand than earlier. So if you have someone new come in, I mean, heaven help you. Like you're just right here. It's going to be overwhelming.
I think to that point, I think that our demographic is changing. The people that, you know, once were our core audience, the technical people, the people that install or run their own nodes and things like that. Not that we've tapped them out, but like, you know, we may have found a large majority of them. And, you know, we need to be more approachable for the common, you know, person that doesn't care about how to send ACH payments via Bitcoin, right? You know, like, or the technicalities that are, you know, similar to an ACH payment. I don't think people want to know or care. They just want to open up their, you know, Venmo wallet and send some money, you know, and I don't know that those people are interested in Bitcoin meetups as well, but I think that, you know, the demographic is slightly changing from the hardcore run your own node crowd to a much more diverse, you know, set of people that are interested in Bitcoin.
Yeah. I mean, we have found occasionally, like after the Samurai wallet thing, we found out that there are people in our area that are very technical.
Yeah. Yeah. But we had one of the developers that came to our local meetup.
Right?
Out of nowhere.
For them, my guess is they know more, no offense, Steve, but they probably know more than you on some of that stuff because they're committed at a different level. They don't need it. they don't need the bit devs because of what they're already living. And so they don't, I mean, I guess it comes back to what are you doing it for? And you do have people come in and they're confused about that. A lot of them are the new folks will come in. They're not necessarily young, but people will come in, they'll be asking investment type questions. And so your 101, your introductory type of thing is trying to go back to the basics of, you know, what this is, just literally what's going on with it. Though if you want to have an impact, those are probably the ones we need to reach out to. But if you're inside the Bitcoin space, the people who are already technical, they probably don't need to have a BitDes every month for the rest of their lives. So they probably got to a point and they're like, I got enough.
Where they can do their own research, right?
They can do their own research. They're going to go to smaller conferences. They're going to do something else. So
that's sort of what I'm talking about, though, is when we come together, are we rallying because we stand behind the same philosophy of sovereign money, or are we just going to talk about Bitcoin until the end of time? And it's about relationship building at this point, at least to me, you know, to be able to stand strong because we are facing a lot of oppositions in different ways. So,
yeah.
Agreed. Yeah, I see. We've talked about it a bunch of different ways. Like, you know, we've this exact topic, you know, why are we doing this? Like, as Bitcoin meetup organizers, like, why are we doing this to ourselves? What, you know, it's great to get involved with the community and find your local Bitcoiners, but there's got to be a bigger purpose here because of how passionate we all are, right? And so I get a little bit stuck between kind of, I see them as like two very different things that both have their place. There's like finding new people and educating them about what Bitcoin is and like what is the opportunity that's being presented to you here by the fact that Bitcoin exists right now and it's still so early. Like trying to get people in the door and recognize like what it is going on here. But that's a completely different thing than, let's say, like, you know, the social aspect of enforcing consensus rules on Bitcoin, right? That's a whole different audience where now you're going to get into like, what version of Bitcoin Core are you running? Like, oh, are you running like some other implementation? You know, let's talk about some of the developers. Like, those are not conversations you're going to have with new people. And so what are we doing here? Like, it is really important to strengthen that base of people who understand all the technicals, but it's also important to be bringing in new people so you can educate them and eventually get them over into that other group. And so, I think for my meetup, I really like the Socratic seminar format for that exact reason. It's like a way for you to, no matter who comes to my meetup, if we're doing a Socratic seminar, it can be tailored to whoever's there, right? Because we're just going to throw a topic up on the screen and start talking about it. And if everybody's got beginner questions, we'll talk about beginner questions. If people want to talk about super advanced stuff, we'll talk about that too. And so that's one of the things, maybe this is, you know, we're running a little bit into our hour mark here, but I did want to get to some of my questions on BitDevs. And one of the things that's one of my favorite things about BitDevs is this Socratic seminar format. And so that's why I had adopted, I don't call mine a BitDevs. It's just a Socratic seminar. We talk about Bitcoin topics. But that's where I got the format from, was from BitDevs. And so I guess I'd love to hear what you think about Socratic seminar, but then the other, I'll just slip in my other BitDevs question and you can get to it if you have time. But there's other tools too, like BitDevs, it kind of seems like as far as meetups go, there's like this underground sort of culture of BitDevs, right? You guys all seem to kind of have the same websites and you talk about a lot of the same, I know it's decentralized. I'm not saying there's like a centralized source of truth about what you guys are talking about, but there's like some kind of subtle coordination going on that a lot of the other quote unquote regular meetups like don't necessarily have. And so I've been very interested in how BitDevs meetup organizers think about that and like what kind of tools you guys have at your disposal.
Sure. So a lot of times I do get some of the inspiration from other BitDevs, like BitDevs.org, the New York City Bitcoin. They have a cities page and I'll go out and check them and say, what did you guys talk about last month or last week? And use that as kind of a guide for some interesting topics, because, you know, I'm not up to date on all the goings on or the nuances of things. And, you know, maybe half the articles I've read cover to cover or understand 100%. But I bring them up mainly because I'm interested in them and I want to know what other people's opinion are on it, or I haven't heard, or I really don't know much about ARC or BARC. Maybe somebody else has some information that I'm unawares of. And so I do bring them up for that reason. I do also like the Socratic seminar method as well. I never really knew what it was, and I'm still not certain I 100% know what it is. But I think, you know, it allows people to feel confident to ask questions, you know, and the, what I think I've hopefully gotten better at over time is leading with better questions or questions that start a better discussion, you know, instead of just saying, what's up? You know, what do you think? You know, so trying to lead the witnesses a bit more and things like that has become hopefully a better skill of mine. But I still really don't know what I'm doing. I'm flying by the seat of my pants. You know, sometimes I'll make the topics up the night before. Sometimes I'll spend a whole, you know, I'll prepare weeks out and be ready and much more prepared. But I do really like the Socratic seminar method, just because it allows that interaction to happen much more freely, and for somebody to chime in where I may not have gaps in my knowledge, or, you know, they have an interesting story about that topic that they can feel comfortable bringing it up.
My big question to follow that up is, like, how do we get Bitcoiners everywhere to not see that there's a difference between BitDevs and a BitDev in a Bitcoin meetup? Like, right. The BitDevs is a Bitcoin meetup. You know, you can do, I go to the BitDevs meetup in Chicago and I bring my stuff for sale and I do the same thing that I do at the bar, you know? And that I think is one bridge that we need to cross here, is like, there seems to be some difference. Like, oh, this is the BitDevs. It's like, no, it's just another meetup format, guys. Like, this is a sweet thing. You can go, you can bring your stuff for sale. You can meet other people. You can learn about Bitcoin. You don't have to, it's not like you're getting, sure, you're going to get a tidal wave of technical information. That's a good thing. That'll rinse off, you know, some of the pleb slop or whatever that you've been reading throughout the month. And I don't know. I love the BitDevs.
Sure. And I think part of it is marketing. Like, we don't market it as a BitDevs on meetup.com, just because if you're unawares of the Bitcoin world, you may not even know what a BitDevs is. So we marketed it more as a meetup, but you know, if you read on in the description, it'll tell you it's a BitDevs and Socratic seminar and so forth. But I do think it's kind of a marketing problem. We need to trick them more into to just coming, because it's more fun than it's more technical, for sure.
Okay, well, we're kind of getting up here on the hour mark, and so I guess I'd like to just maybe go around the horn a little bit here and see if there's like, if people have you know, key takeaways that you guys think would be kind of a good way to kind of sum up what we've talked about here today, or some of the themes we've talked about, or if there's other things that you didn't have a chance, like we sort of ran out of time and you had other things you wanted to bring up that we didn't touch on, this would be a great time to do that. And so I guess maybe we'll go around again in maybe the same order that we let off in. Steve, do you have any kind of follow-up or final thoughts or anything?
Yeah, I think that the things I picked up from our conversation are, you know, just trying new things. I know you mentioned it, and we really didn't talk about it much, but like you said, a roundtable discussion where people bring their own you know, articles to the meeting, that could be something we should try out. You know, just so people feel like they have a little more ownership of the, you know, of the meaning, things like that. Also, we don't really even mention that we need help, you know, doing these things. So, you know, so I think we should do that as well. It's like, hey, if you're interested in doing anything for this at all, like reserving the room or organizing a social meetup, please do. We're not going to say no unless it's really off the wall and not fitting the Louisville Bitcoin Network, you know, banner. But also I picked up some things around, you know, we need to be more involved with Nostr. We need to have, we don't even have a Nostr account for, you know, the Louisville Bitcoin Network. Super easy to do. We should do that. We should, you know, leverage that technology a bit more to do some of that gamification, to also make it easy to approach, you know, for somebody that just comes to the meetup, say, you know, here's Nostr and here's how I can send you money instantly just by you signing up. I think we should, you know, take some of those ideas and expand on them in the Louisville Bitcoin Network.
If you do spin up an NPub for your meetup, let me know and I'll put it in the show notes. That might be a good time to throw it out there.
I might do it while Scott and Tali are giving their recaps.
Yeah, there you go.
I had two thoughts. One is the idea of like all the AI slop that's out there. It reminds me a little bit of COVID in that it's a push towards more the importance of in-person events and the fellowship. And we really need that. I mean, that's ultimately, whether it's the technical side or otherwise, we need to have that fellowship so that we can keep pushing on these freedom ideas. And I don't think necessarily that bigger is better. Like, I don't really care about the metric of how many people show up. Whatever the number is that shows up is really the right number. I'd prefer to have some more. I would like some growth, but I've been to bigger meetups and they don't necessarily feel better for me. I would rather have a few deep conversations and get to know people. So I just think, but like, again, after COVID and with all the AI stuff, like the importance of fellowship towards what we all believe in, which is really at the end of the day, is really freedom. I think, it's the fellowship side that I really, that's the theme that I keep coming back to. And the other thing, we didn't mention it on a tactical side from running a meetup. I don't like Telegram personally. I know some people really like it. We've had a couple scammers get into our group. And so we were all three of us were pretty impressed with the Fetty example at Grassroots. And so we are going to, you know, just as an alibi fire, that is something that we're going to try to work on over the coming, coming months, is trying to figure out how do we make a transition to a technology. And then when people come in person, that's part of them learning. Right. You're like, well, what is this thing? Well, that's a whole separate conversation now. You could start telling them about all kinds of things. So
just to jump in there real quick before you finish up, Tally. The Telegram is crap, and there's nothing but problems that come from trying to do your group chat in Telegram. That being said, the group chat is incredibly important. And this is how the noobs that come in there and they don't know anything and they're overwhelmed. Now they can continue to ask the questions and get the information they need in the group chat in between meetups, right? This is a great resource for people that are trying to learn, because now you're in a isolated group of people that you've met before. You can kind of trust them to a degree that what they're saying isn't bullshit and they're not getting scammed. But actually on Telegram, you are getting scammed a lot of times. And this is actually now Signal, we thought was, oh, Signal is a great solution. And just today, there's somebody was impersonating somebody on Signal now. And so it's coming over to Signal. And the other problem with both of these two options are that, you know, the Signal servers could go down at any point, you lose your group chat, right? The Telegram servers go down at any point, you lose your group chat. And so I don't know if what you're referencing with Fetty is allowing for not only this eCash mint, but a chat protocol into that as well. Yeah. That's very cool, because now you own your chat. Anyways, I just wanted to follow up with that. Go ahead, Tally, with your final thoughts and what you got.
Yeah, so from this conversation, I just feel very strongly that because we are a small group, that once we become very clear what our mission is, whether that is building strong relationships with existing Bitcoiners or that we want to spread Bitcoin further past where, you know, ourselves, we pick one, and then we just stop apologizing for not doing the other bit, and we just strengthen and focus on what we choose to do. And the right people will show. we'll lose some people, but the people who show up will be the right people. So just being really clear about what our mission is, I think that's my biggest takeaway.
That's great. That's it. Honestly, that's like probably one of the best messages that we've left off a podcast with, because it's sort of just honest. I mean, you heard my confusion even about our own meetup. Which one do I do? I think that's great advice to just pick which one you're going to do and go all in on that one side. I'm going to be thinking, I know for my meetup, I'll be thinking more about that.
Well, there's many tips of the spear on this whole thing, right? There's in Illinois and Michigan and maybe Indiana now, there's these Bitcoin councils, the Michigan Bitcoin Council, right, which is working directly with the government on governmental stuff around Bitcoin. And that's cool. I'm not really interested in participating in that, but it's great. I'm really glad that somebody's taking that, picking that battle for me, fighting that fight for me. And the same thing can be true with the meetups, right? Like, we can have meetups that are focused really on education. We can have meetups that are much more focused on circular economy, building market, actually using Bitcoin, creating opportunities for people to gain liquidity for their Bitcoin, whatever. All of it is necessary, and we don't have to do it all. It's actually maybe even better that we do focus. And that's okay to say, like, for once again, personal incentives are important. Steve, you mentioned that, like, I just wanted to flex my Bitcoin. I just wanted this. One of the big reasons why I'm doing this is because I get to learn more about Bitcoin through being challenged every month to show up with the good content for the people that are showing up. And the same thing is true for me. A big reason why I run the South Bend, Indiana meetup is because I want to give the local Bitcoiners in my area access to my products. I produce high quality food, and I want the Bitcoiners to have it first. And if I don't have a meetup, then how are they going to ever find it? You know, and so I guess I'll just continue on with the final thoughts or the wrap up of all of it. It's just that it seems like because of this, there is this uncertainty, right, about what do we focus on. It becomes hard to create opportunities for children to come to meetups, people, spouses, other women, right, to create meetups that are not just just changing the idea of what a Bitcoin meetup is in general. I think we're reaching this tipping point where the Bitcoin meetups are becoming something more than just what you would think of as a BitDevs a few years ago. And maybe creating some gamification incentives around that will help prove where it will help us get feedback, the feedback that we need to know if the directions we're moving in are working or not. And so that can be not necessarily at the meetup, but you could, once you have the group chat, you can create games within the group chat to create people, incentives for people to come back, even as simple as just like foreshadowing the prizes for the nonce game, right, at the BitDevs. Anyways, I think this was really cool. It's definitely got me thinking a lot. I've got my gears turning a lot about what I can do for my meetup and how to broaden the scope of who's showing up and how to get them to show up. So what's up?
I'll keep my final thoughts a little bit tight because I sort of shared them, I think, a little bit as you guys were going. But, you know, I can't remember exactly when, but, you know, we had, actually, I think it was Spencer back in episode 9. He brought up this point that we come back to a lot, and it's consistency, but also variety, right? Consistency is super important for Bitcoin meetups. And I think most Bitcoin meetup organizers, we got that piece. We understand it's important to be consistent and to have this thing every single month. The variety piece is something I know I'm trying to work on. And it's why I'm trying to communicate back with my meetup and just try to figure out where they're at. And I think a lot of the stuff we talked about here today it's going to help me on that mission. And maybe it'll probably help other Bitcoin meetup organizers too, just try to meet their attendees where they're at. So I think that's kind of my final thought. And so with that, I think we're getting ready here to transition to our value for value portion of the show. So, as we talked about pre-show, of course, Steve, Scott, Tally, you guys are all welcome to hang out. But the second half of our show is really, this is our chance to develop our community and to interact with our community that listens to the podcast. A lot of them are Bitcoin meetup organizers. Not all of them. A lot of them are hang out on Noster. Not all of them. But, you know, we do what we can with the tools that we have to try to interact with them. So that's what we're going to do. And so, again, you guys are more than welcome to stay. But what we do to get our value for value section kicked off is first go to our leaderboards. So let me pull those up.
While you're pulling those up, Reed, I just want to say thank you guys for coming on. I really do appreciate you sharing, just letting people know, right? Louisville is a meetup. You can go to that. And, you know, we just talked with Clay from Cincinnati. And as you mentioned, it's not too far. It's not out of range. Next week, we're talking with Columbus. And, you know, Indianapolis, I would have loved to talk with Indianapolis. We haven't quite got the scheduling worked out with that. But in this region, right, around Louisville, there are a lot of other meetups. And so if you're listening from any of those different areas, you can come cross-pollinate with Louisville and hang out with those guys and see what they got going on, too. And likewise, you know, as you mentioned, Scott, you're already been traveling around as much as you got time for to check out other places. But this is once we start getting this crossing together, that's really what makes this stuff hum. And so I really appreciate you guys for coming on here, sharing your all the info about Louisville.
Well, we thank you guys for the opportunity and appreciate what you guys are doing. And yeah, this is part of it, right? You just get to meet other like-minded people, like-valued people. So appreciate this.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you both for having us.
Agreed. Thank you
Absolutely.
Very much.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks, guys. All right. So let's transition over to our leaderboards. So our first leaderboard we like to talk about first is called our top episodes leaderboard. These are our episodes that have received the most sats all time. We like to say sats are the standard, right? So let's use sats. It doesn't mean necessarily that these are our best episodes or our top episodes. These are our episodes that have received the most sats. So there are other metrics too, and we can talk about some of those. But that's what we got here for our top episode leaderboard. And so still up at the top of our list in first place is episode 15, Privacy is Sovereignty, with BTC Russell from Columbia, South Carolina. And that one is coming in with 281,897 sats. So the cool, you know, this is our top episode. And the cool thing about this being our top episode is that BTC Russell has agreed to donate his portion of his splits to Samurai developers. And I think Rev and I, we talked a little bit about what our plans are for that. And really, I think what we're going to end up doing is all the splits. So Rev and I's split, as well as BTC Russell's split, are all going to go to the Samurai developers' families. The way that we're going to do that is, I think right around the end of July is going to be our cutoff. And at that point, we'll add up the totals. We'll take everything that we've received so far. That would be for Rev's split and for my split. And we'll make a big donation to support Keon and Bill and all of their legal battles and just to support their family while they're going through all those challenges.
So this is a big opportunity if you're into this value chain concept that we've got spitting out over here and, you know, you want to support Samurai, you can boost that show. And at the same time, in the message of your boost, take advantage of the fact that you're donating to these guys and let people know about your meetup. Let people know about the event that's coming up. Let people know about a product you have for sale. Send an empowering message. Ask us a question. Whatever. Take advantage of the fact that you're contributing to help these guys out, and we will continue to let that cultural capital and that value propagate out.
Right. The upside here is, you know, you get to be, we talked about it in this episode, right? Now you're part of the community, right? If you make a boost, you know, you could just send them sats, but now you can send them sats and become part of our community at the same time. All right. So moving on to this number or second place here is episode 2. A consistent member of our top episodes leaderboard. And right up there at the top in episode 2 is Meetups are the Ultimate Web of Trust with Jersey City, New Jersey. And that was with GC and James. And so actually, you know, we talked about, I think during even this episode, the topic of AI came up as a reason why in-person connections are so important. And so we talked about that during that episode. And that continues to be one of people's favorites episodes. So if you haven't listened to episode 2, definitely a recommendation to go back and give that one a listen. All right. Third up on our top episodes leaderboard is episode 14. So that was Permaculture for Bitcoin Culture with SourceNode. And that episode received 112,456 sats. We had a great episode. You can tell by the title, it's got to be in Rev's top list because permaculture is in the title. So you know we hit on a bunch of good permaculture stuff there. So if that's your thing and you haven't listened to that episode, definitely go back and listen to that. But we talked about a lot of other cool stuff in that episode as well. So if you haven't checked that one out, that one's third place here. So our number of episodes continues to grow here. So these top five, this is becoming a more and more exclusive club. You know, when we only had 6 episodes, it wasn't that interesting. But now that we're getting the totals up, these ones are really shining through as our top episodes.
Well, and you know, talk about the community feed, right? So now SourceNode is in the community feed for local Bitcoiners. And, you know, I follow a lot of people on Nostr on my Rev account. And I'm also looking at the local Bitcoiners account. And so a lot of times I will miss what SourceNode is putting down on Nostr through the Rev account. But now I'm seeing it for sure on the local Bitcoiners account. And I have to say, dude, I'm a big fan of the vibe that SourceNode is putting out lately. I am really digging it, SourceNode. If you're listening, keep that shit up, man. And if you aren't following SourceNode, you can do that really easy. You should be watching what this guy's talking about right now because it's it gets me going. It gets me feeling good, you know.
I've also been enjoying his notes there on Nostr. So yeah, if you're not following SourceNode, give him a follow. All right, fourth place would be episode 9 with Sir Spencer, which, of course, came up during this episode. This is one of our top episodes. We refer back to it all the time. And example was here today. We referred back to something that Spencer said about consistency and variety, which has influenced me significantly. It's caused me to kind of shake up a lot of the stuff that we're doing with our meetup, just to kind of keep it fresh and make sure we're not getting stale. So definitely consider, if you haven't listened to episode 9, definitely consider going back to give that one a listen. I would say, and I don't know, Rev, if you agree, but I would say episode 9 was a little bit of a turning point for the show. Like, I think that we really started leaning harder into the V4V stuff after maybe right before, but really in preparation for maybe that episode. All right.
Yeah. So I will say, like, when it comes to gamification too, so Bowl After Bowl, we typically record on Tuesday nights, and Bowl After Bowl goes live later. Usually after we're done recording, they're just getting started. And so I can pop into Bowl After Bowl and check it out live. And you know what's so fun, man, is that you can watch Bowl After Bowl live on like Nostr. I could watch it on Wisp or Amethyst or whatever. And my wallet's just linked through NWC, Nostr Wallet Connect. And so I can just like spam their show the whole time with those bowling pins crashing and the disco ball turning and stuff, just zapping them all throughout the whole time. I'm having so much fun with it. That is a fun game to play, you guys, is going to Bowl After Bowl, listening live and seeing what it feels like when you know those bowling pins crash because you sent them the Bitcoin. Super fun. Anyways, I've been having fun with them lately.
Yeah, it's really convenient actually, right? That it's right after we normally finish recording is when they get started. I've been listening a lot too, and talk about community features, right? They have, first of all, they have more ways to boost their show than you could ever imagine. You can mail them stuff in the mail and boost their show via United States Postal Service can be your protocol. So there's lots of ways. Oh, they have, and Rev, I think you called into it, right? They have a voicemail that you can call and leave a voicemail on, and they'll play it and interact with you that way. So they've got, you know, we're learning so much from them. You know, when we roll out new features, we're heavily influenced by all the other cool shit that shows like Bowl After Bowl are doing.
Here's a call out. Should we have a voicemail? Do you want to have your voice played live on air? Should we add that as a segment here in the Value for Value section? Let us know.
Yeah, and maybe we could come, like, is there a Nostr voicemail service? Maybe we could try to get voice notes on Nostr. All right, finally, so to round out our top episodes list is episode 5 with Augie. And episode 5 was titled, The Meetup is the Farmer's Market. And so that episode really kind of got us kicked into high gear talking about all the different, you know, local marketplaces that pop up at the Bitcoin meetup, you know, trying to get this peer-to-peer, like start using Bitcoin as money. And in that episode, if you thought, you know, oh, we can't do the circular economy thing at my meetup. Well, if you listen to that episode, you're probably going to get like 30 ideas about things that you actually you probably can do that. So if you haven't listened to episode 5, go back and give that one a listen as well. All right. So that rounds out our top episodes. So let's go to our next leaderboard, which is our top listeners leaderboard, aka our ride or dies, aka our core group. We're still working on names here. But, you know, these are the guys, you know, these are the people who have been boosting us the most consistently, right? They've listened to, you know, either all of our episodes or a lot of our episodes. They're hitting that boost button on the regular. You know, we're reading off their notes all the time. And so what we're going to read off here is the top 3. And so in first place.
And to take it back to the show, too, from tonight, it's both guys and gals, you know. We've got
absolutely
some not just men represented in our core group here. So this online meetup is starting to get some diversity.
Some diversity, yes.
Yeah.
Well, in first place, and who has been in first place, I think, since we invented this leaderboard, is Matthew D. Matthew D, we are looking forward to trying to find cool ways to interact with you since you've been on this leaderboard for so long. Matthew D has boosted all 17 episodes. And if you go to our stats page on the localbitcoiners.com website, you'll see that he's actually at the top of several categories. Like he's one of our top community members in many different areas. This is just the leaderboard that he has basically owned since it started. So Matthew D, thank you again for your continued support. And then right below Matthew D is Perminerd. So Perminerd went on a streak a few weeks ago, and it looked like he was going to keep up here with every episode. And I actually wonder, he may have boosted the wrong episode. I was actually looking into it right before the show when I saw the leaderboards come out. So Perminerd's at 16 episodes, but I was like, oh, I swear he sent in a boost this week. And he did. He sent it on episode 16. So I don't know. Maybe he wanted to send 2 boosts to episode 16. Maybe he clicked the wrong episode. I'm not sure. But Perminerd, you're right there. You're second place, 16 episodes. So thank you again for all your support. And then in third place here is Noster Gang. So Noster Gang is at 11 episodes. And yeah, it's every week. It's actually, Noster Gang is almost always one of our very first boosts that we get. Show launches, bam. Like, it almost seems like a few minutes after I publish it, we got a boost coming in from Noster Gang. So thank you, Noster Gang, for your continued support. And then also, of course, Matthew D and Perminerd. You guys are our core group. And thank you all for listening to our episodes and boosting and interacting with the show. And actually, you know, we talked about a little bit here today, like the game testers, right? You guys are kind of like the testers for all these features that we're rolling out. So if you like features, let us know. If some of the features that we've rolled out are kind of like, meh, not into them, let us know that too, because we're trying to create a game here. And so if the more feedback that we get about what's working, you know, we'll lean into those, and what's not working, maybe we'll cut them up.
And please try and break the game, because a lot of these games are not just for the show. What we're doing is we're trying to build ideas for Bitcoin meetups to employ this stuff too, to build it into their communities. And so if we get a nice, strong game that everyone's been poking at and trying to break things, then once meetups start taking on this stuff, they've already got a much more hardened game that it isn't as easily broken. So this is helpful for meetups at the same time. Like, please try and break our games. Have some fun, guys.
All right. So let's go to our final leaderboard, which is our top boosts of all time. So our top boost leaderboard. These are honestly, these are really the boosts. They're boosts that get read off every episode, and so really what we're using these for is to promote our top boosters. So whatever stuff that they've got going on, whatever message that they have that they think is the most valuable thing that they could put out there for whatever, for their brand or for whatever, maybe they're selling some products, maybe they have a company, whatever it happens to be, you know, maybe they just want to wish us well, you know, or maybe they want to give somebody a shout out. All those are great things. And those are all things that we want to promote. And so that's what we're going to do. So we're going to see what are the top boosts that we've ever received. And we're just going to keep reading them out every single episode. We'll read off the top five. If your note falls off the top five, then, you know, we'll read somebody else's note. And that's fine. That's kind of how the game works here. So let me start reading out our top boosts of all time. So in number one is 300,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com from Sovereign. And the message reads, Sovereign is the geek squad for Bitcoiners and Bitcoin companies. Come check us out at sovereign.io, spelled S-O-V-R-E-I-G-N. Thanks, Reed and Rev. And so that was a show level boost. And so it wasn't on a particular episode. But yeah, thank you to Sovereign for using these features and playing along with the game. And we're happy to promote your message here. So thank you. And in second place is Sovereign again. So let's read Sovereign's other message here. So this other boost was for 200,000 sats, also via localbitcoiners.com. But this one was not a show level boost. This one was on episode 15, Privacy is Sovereignty with BTC Russell. So coming up here towards the end of the month, this entire boost is actually all going to be end up going to Keon and Bill, the Samurai Developers donation fund. So let's read Sovereign's second message here. So it says, Sovereign focuses on helping individuals, families, and companies integrate Bitcoin into their personal and professional lives with confidence, recognizing the crucial role it plays in the broader economic picture. If you want to dig deeper into self-custody, node running, or point-of-sale implementation, Sovereign has your back. Thanks to all the meetup organizers out there for keeping the grassroots Bitcoin ethos alive. Go to sovereign.io, spelled S-O-V-R-E-I-G-N, for support on your Bitcoin journey. Well, thank you again, Sovereign. We really appreciate those two monster boosts. They really go a long way for this podcast. And in this this second boost's case, it's hopefully going to go a long way for the Samurai developers and their families.
And so whether that was intentional or not by Sovereign, the way that they chose to boost the show, the first way in the show level boost, so 1/3 of that goes directly to our wallet in which we are using to give back to so you can earn these sats back as being part of our community or having a badass podcast that I'll go and boost or zap or whatever. A lot of those sats are going out back out into the community. And then the other boost was just now because of our match for the we're giving all these sats directly to Samurai. So Sovereign has really chose, they placed these big boosts accordingly so that most of those sats still go back out into the community itself, which is super cool. And you know, Brandon Karpeles is he's at the Chicago Bitcoin Collective as a member, you know, and so these guys are like SourceNode running a meetup. These guys are the guys that are, you know, in our community. They're doing it with us. And so it makes sense that they're boosting the show like that.
Yeah. And, you know, you bring up a good point, and we do try to call this out. We probably try to call it out as much as we can. But it probably isn't enough. You know, the whole reason why we're doing all these splits and we're cutting up all this different things and we're doing all these donations and we have, our V4V fund where we're trying to boost, you know, other people and do a whole bunch of zaps and stuff like that. The whole reason why we're doing that is because we're trying to build a community here. And so the way, you know, when we're able to receive sats, those sats are going right back out into the community. And so when you're boosting the show, you know, it's great. you know, we really appreciate, you know, our cut of that. It helps pay for all of our, you know, the costs of running the podcast and stuff like that and for our time and things. But really what we want to do is we want to empower other Bitcoin meetup organizers, and we want to empower our community on Noster. And so that's what we're doing with it. And so these huge boosts, they go a long way. They really go a long way. These, you know, it allows us to do, we're zapping people a lot more than 21 sats, right? We give out, if you find a bug on the website, you know, it's 1,000 sats, you know, or if you give us a comment or good feedback, you know, 420 sats. And some of those numbers, I'm telling you, some of those numbers might start creeping up here, because we've got a lot of sats in that wallet right now that we're trying to get through. So, all right, let's hit the last couple here. So we've got next on the list is 105,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com. And that is from BTC Jack Lowe. And his message is, escape to the Listening Loft cabin in Wilmington, Vermont. A modern two-bedroom retreat featuring a signature vinyl record listening loft, luxury bedding, and a peaceful deck. Perfect for skiing at Mount Snow or a relaxing getaway. Pay in Bitcoin and get 20% off. Visit listeningcabin.com for more information. And that boost came in under episode 2, Meetups are the Ultimate Web of Trust, Jersey City, New Jersey. Well, thank you, BTC Jackalope. We're having fun interacting with you on Noster. I'm happy to see you over here. We like getting your account some views, and hopefully people are going to check out Listening Cabin and listeningcabin.com, and they can check out, even if they don't book, they can at least check out your cool place, because that place is really awesome, actually.
So yeah, BTC Jackalope has been, I as far as I can tell, he's at least posting one song a day. And so this is on brand for the Listening Loft, right? Is that, you know,
absolutely,
this guy clearly is into music. And so if you want to hit, you know, find a cool track, new track every day that this guy's putting out there, he's doing that on Noster, so you can give him a follow.
Yeah, some of those tracks that he shares, he used to send them to me as like a text message. And at some point he's like, you know, I should probably just put these out as Noster notes. That way more than just one person gets to see them. And I was like, that's a great idea. Why don't you go ahead and do that? Because I still see them anyway. So, all right. Well, thank you again, BTC Jackalope. All right. Next on the list is our third boost coming in from Sovereign here. So 100,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com. And it is again from Sovereign. And their message this time is, here's what I'm thinking. Sovereign focuses on helping individuals, families, and companies integrate Bitcoin into their personal and professional lives with confidence, recognizing the crucial role it plays with the broader economic picture. If you want to dig deeper into self-custody, node running, or point-of-sale implementation, Sovereign has your back. Thanks to all the Bitcoin meetup organizers out there for keeping the grassroots Bitcoin ethos alive. Go to sovereign.io, spelled S-O-V-R-E-I-G-N, for support on your Bitcoin journey. And this time, this one came in for the episode with SourceNode, episode 14, Permaculture for Bitcoin Culture with SourceNode. And let's read off the last one here. So the last boost came in via Fountain, and it was for 69,421 sats via Fountain. And the message is, attend your local meetup, and if there isn't one in your area, start one. Local Bitcoiners is an essential part of my 40 HPW. BTC Russell. And he boosted the episode that he came on, Privacy is Sovereignty, with BTC Russell, Columbia, South Carolina. And that was episode 15. All right. And that.
Yeah. So BTC Russell putting his sats where his mouth is. And he straight up just preceded that whole effort with a big boost, you know, all going to Samurai now. So cool. Thank you, BTC Russell.
And so that rounds out our leaderboards. However, we do, before we move on to our boosts, there's a couple things that we like to do. And a lot of these things are coming from our stats page on localbitcoiners.com. But we also have a new homepage now on localbitcoiners.com. And we've got some cool stuff. Hopefully it's a lot higher signal than our old homepage. This website continues to evolve, right? So the very first iteration, it was just a place where you could find our episodes. That's all it really was. And so the old homepage was just a list of episodes. Well, the new homepage is really now you can see more clearly what all these different community features are that we're rolling out. You can see the guests who have come on the show. You can see our top boosters. You can see some of the stats. We have the leaderboards. If you want to find the leaderboards, now you don't have to go search for the Noster notes. You can just go right see the leaderboards on the homepage. So definitely, if you haven't seen the new homepage on the website, go ahead and check that out. But really what I wanted to do is shout out the streamers real quick. We like to do that. And so not too much shake up here in terms of the order, but here are some of our top streamers. So we've got Logs coming in with 11,388 sats via Fountain. We've got Chad F, who streams via Castomatic, and he's up to 9,628 sats. We All Eat, Pleb to Polymath, used to read a lot, Hot Wax Social Club. We've got Random Junk, Julio, Eric PP, Chief Monkey. Thank you guys. We, you know, there's something about watching those streams come in, and I've still got the notifications on for my Albi Hub, my Albi Go. It's constantly, you know, your guys are blowing up my phone constantly, and I love to see it. And so love to give you guys a shout out. Thank you for all your support. And you know, we all of our stats and stuff, we treat streamers and boosters the same. The only difference is the streamers that doesn't have a message. So you're still in all of our support pages and tiers. All of these stats get counted just the same as boosts. So thank you all for your support.
Yeah. So if you want to make the Louisville meetup, all Scott, Tally, and Steve, you want to make their day, hit that stream button and just blast them with some sats every 10 minutes or whatever it is, the cadence on there. Every minute? I don't know. It's crazy. It's cool.
And the last thing I want to bring up are our zappers. Right. So we also get zaps, right? We get zaps on our Noster notes. And because there's zaps, you know, there's data that's publicly out there. As long as they're public zaps, then we can pull the data. And so, one thing that has changed, I think, since last time is we've had a top zappers section of the stats page for a while. However, we weren't exactly giving the zappers quote unquote first class treatment. So what that means is that if you sent us a zap, you know, thank you for the sats, you get a little place on the website, but you're not part of the community. Well, that's changed now, right? So now, as long as if you've zapped us at least 100 sats, right? So this isn't for the people who are doing like zappertising for one sat zaps and stuff like that. Like that's all, none of that stuff. But if you've zapped us at least 100 sats, like if you've hit us up for 21 sats like five times, bam, now you're a community member. Right. So you're going to get your NPubs can be featured on our page. You know, you're going to get entered into our follow packs. We're going to start following you, all that stuff. So, yeah, you know, zap us on Noster. It's a great way to contribute to the show and we appreciate it. All right. Well, I think that rounds out most of the stuff that I wanted to talk about for leaderboards, website stuff. Did I miss anything, Rev?
Was there any of the top zappers that you wanted to point out? Do we have any? I know Cleveland has zapped us
top zappers
pretty good.
Yeah, we mentioned that last time, right? Yeah, we mentioned last time Cleveland sent us a huge zap. They sent us a 21,000 sat zap. So thank you to Cleveland Bitcoin. And you know, now you're over in our you're on our supporters page now. So thank you for that. And yeah, hopefully we'll find more cool ways to give back to people who have contributed the most to the show. We're looking forward to coming up with new things.
I've got this kind of heuristic that I like to use when I spend my Bitcoin. And so I like to spend my Bitcoin with those who have the highest probability of earning it back from someday. And when you zap us on Noster, all that Bitcoin, that we are not getting splits of that. That is going directly into the Primal wallet, which then is in the pool for being redistributed back out. So like you might zap us over the course of some time to add up to a lot of zaps, but we are working on ways for you to earn that Bitcoin back. So just keep that in mind. You know, you can spend Bitcoin with us and you may have some opportunities to earn Bitcoin back from us through that interaction.
And I guess I get that you're teasing it a little bit, but I will say, just to give some more, drop some more breadcrumbs here, go check out our meetups page. So we have localbitcoiners.com/meetups. You can find it. There's a link right up in the top. You click explore. It gives you all the different links to all our different pages. If you go to our meetups page, you'll see that there's lots of ways for you actually to share your meetup. And I've talked about these, some of these ways in other episodes. Right now, this is kind of, we talked about what aspects of the game, the gamification maybe aren't being used or aren't working. Well, the meetups page honestly is one of the pages that isn't being heavily used. And so we are looking to change the rules, right? We're looking to change the incentives. And so we were talking about before, you know, we've got a lot of the zapping to do. So if you post your meetup on our meetups page, you know, I would not be, don't be too surprised if you get a pretty, like a nice fat zap for that. So, you know, something to check out. If you haven't checked out localbitcoiners.com/meetups, give it a try.
Yeah, post a meetup, see what happens.
All right, so with that, you want to transition to the boosts? You got them queued up, you ready to go?
Yeah. All right, thanks again, everyone, for throwing down some interaction with the show, boosting us, sending us some sats, and, you know, as well, whoever the guest is on the show that you boosted, they're getting some of those sats. And the first boost we got is 1,000 sats via Fountain from Clay Seal. And that Clay says, thanks for matching the boost for the Samurai Heroes. And that was on Privacy is Sovereignty with BTC Wrestle, Columbia, South Carolina, episode 15. And so Clay was on the last episode, the last recording, talking about the Cincinnati meetup. And so he likes what's going on with the Samurai thing, and he's throwing down 1,000 sats towards them. That's great. Thank you so much, Clay. That every little bit helps. Next, we've got 101 sats via Fountain from Nostragang. And Nostragang says, did he say BitLife Crisis? Love it. And that was on Local Bitcoiners, The Subjective Value of Meetups with Clay Seal, Cincinnati, Ohio, episode 17. And he did say BitLife Crisis. And, you know, I guess what he was getting at with BitLife Crisis is that it's a tipping point where you have like almost not enough fiat and too much Bitcoin. And now you have to like spend your Bitcoin in order to get by. You know, you're going to need fiat at some point. You don't have enough fiat cash flow. You got to get rid of some of that corn. And, you know, it feels good once you reach your BitLife Crisis. I recommend everyone try and see what that feels like.
I was trying to remember. I saw that boost come in, and I remember hearing that term, and I can't remember who said it. Do you remember who coined that term, BitLife Crisis? Can't remember. Okay. Yeah, I can't remember either.
Sorry, I'm riding the mute button right now because I got someone's blasting off some fireworks right next door to me.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that sounds great. Let's go.
Let's celebrate the independence of the United States of America.
And we're lighting off fireworks for Nostragang's BitLife Crisis. No,
yeah. There you go. BitLife Crisis. This is what happens. The fireworks start to go off. Next, we got 2,500 sats via Fountain. And it says, great rip as always, fellas. Salute emoji. And that was from the Subjective Value of Meetups with Clay Seal, Cincinnati, Ohio, episode 17. So thank you. Yes. It was a great rip. I really enjoyed talking with Clay about this whole, I just got this feeling, man, that the velocity is what we kind of need right now. We're at the tipping point of so many things, and all we just need is a little bit more juice, a little bit more grease on the wheels, and things will really start to roll here. So big part of what we're trying to do with all of this local Bitcoiner stuff is get some velocity moving, get that value chain reacting. Next, we got 1,111 sats via localbitcoiners.com, RoaStix from Perminerd. Another great episode. Thanks for continuing to produce quality content. And that was from Parallel Systems for Silent Bitcoiners with Biddish, Cleveland, Ohio, episode 16. And so this may be what you were saying, Reed, is that Perminerd mistakenly boosted an older episode second time. And Perminerd, you don't have to boost the row of sticks again. You can minimum's 100 sats, but I, you know, you might need to go and keep your streak alive there. Next, we got 333 sats. Oh, and before I go on for Permanerd, and so this is one thing that, you know, I realized, like, when we're talking about the most consistent, our top listeners, you know, our core group, we read off those names, and I'm like, I could say something about them right now, but I know that they boosted the show, right? So now I can just talk about them once we get to their boost. And so Permanerd does have a pretty cool podcast with Oshi. That's the Yada podcast. You Are the Algorithm. They've got a permaculture section in that podcast. I really enjoy listening to that podcast. They've got some good audience participation. They're doing value for value over there, talking a lot about stats and stuff of how their show is doing. And so it's very much up your alley if you're listening to this show. The Yada podcast is definitely something to go check out.
Yeah, 100%. 100% agree. I've really been enjoying their podcast. And, you know, we get ideas from them too. You know, like I like some, you know, Rev and I have had separate conversations about what they're doing with the jar and other types of interesting stats they pull that we don't. And so that's cool. And so we can kind of learn from each other. If you haven't checked out Yada podcast, go check it out.
All right. Next, we got 333 sats via Castomatic from Chad F. And Chad F says, guest discount is a great way of thinking about it. Or thinking about someone boosting their own episode since their split just goes back to them. Also ties any message they send to their episode going forward. And so Chad F. is starting to think about some of the incentives around these systems that we've built. And the guests have certainly figured out the game pretty quick. We didn't think about this, that, hey, if you're a guest on the show and you boost your own show, then you get the sats back, like a rebate on the sats. And you get your message attached there. And if it's a big enough boost, now you're continuously promoting your show on future episodes every time. I don't know. It seems to be all right.
That's right.
You know,
yeah. Seems, and you're on cool. the leaderboards and all that do. Stuff. That's right. Absolutely.
Never thought that would be something that would happen. And here it is. Wow. Interesting feedback. And so that's what I'm saying, guys. You can figure out ways to break these games, make it the most beneficial for yourself when you're playing with us. And, you know, this is teaching us how to, once again, build these parallel systems more effectively and have some of the kinks worked out when it's not just a game and it's the real deal. Okay, so next we got 4,000 sats via Fountain. Shoot, this NPub didn't render. Maybe I can deduce who it was by their message. I lean into streaming sats feature a lot, and one reason is a way to experiment with unit of account and V for V. I'm still working out my thoughts on it. I think Rev's point about velocity somewhere in there, and I didn't have a word for it before. So I think this was Clay, actually.
It's Logs. Once
again, was it Logs? Okay. Okay, cool. Yeah, so Logs. All right. So this is from Logs. It's still nebulous for me. It's just a feeling that I have. I don't have any real concrete quantitative analysis of this idea that velocity will improve what we've got. But it just makes sense to me that if in any economic exchange that you make willingly and you're not coerced, you're in a free market, then that means that you've got more capital at the end of that exchange. Both parties have got more capital at the end of that exchange for whatever they were looking for. And so that means it's generative in capital. And so if you can increase the amount of capital generation, then theoretically your economy should be more powerful. We'll see if that ends up playing out. But so yeah, that was on Subjective Value of Meetups with Clay Seal, Cincinnati, Ohio, episode 17. Thanks. That's a great boost, Logs. Appreciate it, man. Next, we got 5,000 sats via Fountain from Witsixer. Whiter? I don't know how they're wanting us to say this name. W-H-I-T-6-R. Witsixer? Whiter? Damn, I don't know.
I haven't figured that one out either.
Whitber? It's a mystery. So many great topics in this podcast. I can relate to many of them. Definitely start your own meetup. Cleveland Bitcoin had two different groups going who didn't know each other. And one day, one person, Rocco, connected the dots for our group. We instantly doubled in size. It can happen. Also, want to mention that the longer I've been in Bitcoin, I began to actually enjoy spending sats versus only saving them. It will sneak up on you and it becomes very satisfying. Save them, but spend them too. And that was on Subjective Value of Meetups with Clay Seal, episode Cincinnati, Ohio, episode 17. And so I feel the same. You know, I'm proud to have a good opportunity to spend my Bitcoin, even right now when it's like, I know I talk about, you know, this velocity and sats come in and sats go out. But like right now, most of the sats that I'm earning, by the time I go to spend them, are worth, you know, they have less purchasing power. I'm sending out more sats than I'm receiving for selling my stuff. But I don't mind because I'm going to buy a year membership at the Chicago Bitcoin Collective. I don't care that it's the market is down and I'm gonna have to give them more sats. Oh no, I gave them more sats. That's actually good. That's what I want to be doing. I want to support them. And so, I'm very happy to spend my Bitcoin because I have connected with the local Bitcoiners and found great opportunities to make sure that those sats go to somewhere which will swing back around in my direction in some form of capital one way or another. Great boost. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Whitsker.
I'm just going to go with Whitsixer.
Whitsixer.
And, like, and see if that seems, that's nice, right? All right. Next, we got 199 sats via Fountain from Alice A. Sat standard is the way. Order a Nostr value pack for 210,000 sats. And she's got a price chart going up emoji. And that's the subjective value of meetups with Clay Seal, Cincinnati, Ohio, episode 17. And so, yeah, if you don't know, Alice A is doing this thing called the Nostr value pack. And so she's kind of aggregating a bunch of good Nostr products into one package that you can test them all out, order it all in one place. And I think this is what Bittish was kind of talking about, is that this is a part of that whole thing that they've got going on there with ordering a bunch of products from Nostr merchants and then redistributing them at the meetup locally. So this is Alice A's way of doing that as well for the Nostr meetup, the Nostr culture, the Nostr location.
And next, you know, it's funny too, so she's got a line chart going up after the Nostr value pack, but really this is Nostr because it's priced in sats. It's at a discount right now, right? Sats are on sale right now. So, you know, 210,000 sats isn't, back when we were at 100K, maybe that was $210. Well, today it's only like, I don't know, $120, something like that. So these, you know, when you price your stuff in sats, it really should, like when the price is down like this, it should accelerate because everything's on sale. So go check out Alice A's Nostr value packs. They are on sale.
Next up, we got 5,000 sats via Fountain from Matthew D. Ohio is all right, but Michigan is better. Hand up emoji. And that's on subjective value of meetups with Clay Seal, Cincinnati, Ohio, episode 17. Well, Matthew D., we you know, it's true. Michigan is pretty great. I wouldn't say, you know, value is
subjective.
What is that?
Yes.
The whole thing. Well, it's ordinal. So you can't necessarily say that Michigan is twice as good as Ohio. But like as a Michigan Bitcoiner, you can say I prefer Michigan to Ohio. Right.
Sure.
And so there's no way to quantify like how much better Michigan is than Ohio. But Matthew D is saying, you know what? Ordinarily, Michigan is higher on the list for me. And it makes a lot of sense because Matthew D is a Michigan Bitcoiner. And you know, Matthew D, we did tease it a little bit, talking about how we can, you know, get all your participation with the show to pay off. And I'm going to be in contact with you about that pretty shortly here. So keep an eye out. And then finally, 420 sats via Fountain from Undisciplined. I love the idea of using meetups and any other existing concentration of Bitcoiners as distribution hubs for Bitcoin products. And that was on Parallel Systems for Silent Bitcoiners with Bittish, Cleveland, Ohio, episode 16. And I agree. This is finally hitting. I keep seeing it, man. We're on the teeter-tottering. We're at the tipping point for a lot of these parallel systems to be built up enough with enough participants where we can start to move into the next phase of succession here, where we're getting a little bit more cooperative, we're getting a little bit more connected, and things like this distribution hub stuff is starting to become actually useful. So I'm excited for it. I'm here for it. Let's just keep starting meetups, going to meetups, shouting from the rooftops about how great meetups are and all the things, all the extra utility and value you can get from your Bitcoin, how much capital you can generate from going to a meetup. We don't need a lot of people. We just need people to do it.
Yeah, and I'm having fun just brainstorming and stuff. Like I kind of felt like even this episode, you know, maybe this should have been part of my closing thoughts, but I really appreciated the fact that we were almost kind of brainstorming on air. Right? Like we're trying to figure this stuff out too. Like it's not like this meetup thing is a locked in done deal. We're done growing and evolving. No, we're like right in the middle of trying to grow and evolve. And so hopefully this podcast is a way for people to come and share their ideas. Right. So even if it's not something you're doing with your meetup now, you're like, you know, I've really been thinking this is meetups are being underutilized for these types of areas. Well, we'd love to hear from you. Send us a boost. Tell us your ideas. You know, reach out to us. We say it in the outro of every episode, but you can find our email address is just in the show notes. Send us an email. You want to come on the podcast? We'll almost certainly have you on if you're a Bitcoin meetup organizer. So, you know, come on, talk to us about your meetup, talk to us about your ideas. We'd love to hear them and we'd love to help try to get your message out there. So, I'm just having a great time learning all this stuff and trying to figure out the best ways to do some of these different things. And I'm having a blast.
Well, beautiful, Reed. I don't have anything else. If you don't got anything,
let's go.
Roll the outro.
Episode complete. If you run a Bitcoin meetup and want to talk about it here, reach out. Check the show notes for contact info, link to meetup organizer resources on GitHub, and more. Send us a boost of any size and advertise your next meetup. We'll read it out on the next episode. And remember, attend your local meetup or start your own. Local Bitcoiners are always just one meetup away.